The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 31, text number 21, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on October 1st, 2009, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 4, chapter number 31, Narada instructs the Prachetas, text number 21. Na bhajati kumani shinam saijam. Na bhajati kumani shinam saijam. Hare radhanatma dano priyo rasagya. Hare Radhanatma Dana Priyo Rasagya. Shruta Dana Kula Karmanam Madarye. Vidadati Papam Makinchaneshu Satsu. Na bhajati kumani shinam saijam. Hare radhanatma dano priyo rasagya. Shruta dana kula karmanam madarye. Vidadati papam makinchaneshu satsu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. He does not even accept the offerings of those who are not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy in possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of His devotee. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Supreme Lord never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi, Durvasa Muni, offended the great devotee, Ambarish Maharaj. The great sage, Durvasa, was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Even though the great mystic directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was never excused. Those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend a pure devotee. Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri.
Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So this is a very important verse. This is the definition of a pure devotee. One who possesses nothing except for devotional service. Does that mean the devotee can't use anything material in Krishna's service? He can't ride in a motor vehicle. He can't use a watch. He can't fly in the airplane. He can't use a microphone. Is that what it means? No material possession? No. It means he doesn't claim anything as his property. He can utilize the entire world in Krishna's service. But he never claims, this is mine. He possesses one thing and one thing only, and that is devotional service. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shancham richati. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29. One who knows me is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme owner, and the supreme friend, can alone achieve peace.
Aš galutinis visų aukų ir askezių objektas, visų planetų bei pusdievių aukščiausias viešpats ir visų gyvosybių draugas. Ir kas mane tokį pažįsta, tas mane įsisamino ir jo nebekankina materialios nemonos.
So the question is this. Is this practical for us?
Ar tai praktiška mums?
It's a nice ideal to read about a pure devotee.
Tai idealas gan gražus skaityti apie tyrą atsidavusį.
But is it practical for us? Ordinary people, you see, who are earning livings, raising families, attending school, or this or that. Is it practical for us? Some would say, no, it's not practical for us. But I would disagree with them. Because in any walk of life, one can become purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. What is the proof? Arjuna. Talk about materially absorbed. Have any of you ever been in the military? Anybody served in the military? Yes. It's very intense, isn't it? Were you ever in war? That's even heavier. It's one thing to be in the military. Actually, they tried to draft me into the U.S. Army to send me to Vietnam. But I didn't go. That's another story. But anyway, it's very, very intense being in the military. And then to be in the middle of a battlefield where 640 million men are assembled. Talk about an entangling situation. If I give you a bead bag and there's 640 million warriors getting ready to kill each other, so here chant 16 rounds peacefully. We would have a hard time even chanting one round. All these warriors have assembled. Oh my, they're getting ready to fight any minute now. It's heavy. Did you all see that video? You saw that video? It showed two armies getting ready to attack each other. And then traditional, you know, like clubs and arrows and knives, hand-to-hand, heavy hand-to-hand combat. Then somebody yelled out a blood-curdling war call, and they all charged each other. They're running, millions of men running across the field, getting ready to kill each other. Then all of a sudden, there was something up in the sky. And everybody stopped and looked up. And they were amazed. Then they threw down their weapons. They put their arms up and went, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They had a big kirtan. They were all dancing. So, it was pretty intense, you see, until the kirtan started. It was pretty heavy. You saw that video? Yeah. It was pretty, until the kirtan started, I mean, it was pretty intense, you know. Can you imagine being Krishna conscious in a battlefield? What to speak of being Krishna conscious, but being purely Krishna conscious in a battlefield? Well, that's exactly what the whole Bhagavad Gita is about. Each one of us have our own battle of Kurukshetra that we're fighting. We're struggling with our senses. We're struggling with in our relationship with our family members. We're struggling in a relationship with our job, with our studies, with our health. So many different struggles we face, each one of us, in our own personal battle of Kurukshetra. So, just as Arjuna was able to rise beyond that battle, not by leaving the battlefield, but by offering it in Krishna's service, we can do the same thing. You don't have to give up your family. You don't have to give up your job. You don't have to give up anything. Simply engage everything that you have in Krishna's service. And then we can come to this position described in this verse. Prabhupada said, nothing to purchase except for Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. So, in this state of being completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that we will reach someday if we stay in this process. Krishna will relish our devotional service.
Krishna mėgausis mūsų atsidavimo tarnyste.
Can you imagine pleasing Krishna by your service?
Ar jūs įsivaizduojat, kad patenkinat Krishna savo tarnyste?
How nice that would be if Krishna can be happy with your service.
Kaip būtų nuostabu, kad Krishna būtų laimingas jūsų tarnyste.
By the way you chant, by the way you honor Prasadam, by the way you offer your obeisances, we can actually please Krishna just by the way we take Prasadam. So this is a wonderful thing to aspire for. Even though now we're low level neophytes, to aspire for this pure state of consciousness, nothing to possess except Krishna. This is a wonderful focus for us to use
it.
And then Krishna, the verse further explains that those who are very proud of I possess this, I possess that. They criticize the devotees. And such people, even if they worship God, which they often do in the church, the synagogue, the temple, and the mosque,
ir tokie žmonės, net jeigu jie ir bando garbinti Dievą, kai jie dažnai daro visokiose bažnyčiose ir panašiai.
Krishna says, I don't accept your worship. Sorry. There's many people worshipping God, you see. But they find fault with Krishna's devotees. Krishna does not accept their worship. And then Prabhupada makes this point very strong in his purport. That such pure devotees who have nothing except for Krishna as their only possession, if we offend them, then it wreaks great havoc upon our lives. The example is Durvasa Muni. Even though he was a powerful mystic yogi, he was so powerful he could enter the spiritual world by his mystic power. But even such a person, with all that power, he was in fear of his life because of his offense he had made against Ambarish Maharaj. Even God himself could not excuse Durvasa Muni. It took the mercy of the devotee to save him, actually, from being killed by the Sudarshan Chakra. So this is a good lesson for us. Be very careful not to offend a pure devotee. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes? So, can we offend the neophyte devotee? Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakura describes what is known as jiva aparad. Actually, we can't even offend any jiva. What to speak of a devotee? We have to be respectful to all jivas, seeing them as part and parcel of Krishna. Everybody knows the story of Mrigari the Hunter. You know the story of Mrigari the Hunter?
No?
All right. I'll explain. There was once this hunter, his name was Mrigari. And his father had trained him in a very strange way. That when you kill the animals in the forest, you should kill them halfway. So they lie there in agony, a very slow, horrible, painful death.
kad jie ten gulėtų agonijoje sužeisti ir labai lėtai nusikankinę numirtų.
And while they are suffering in that way, you can have a good laugh.
Ir kol jie kenčia tokiu būdu, jūs galėsit gerai nusijuokti, pasidžiaugti.
This is how Murgari was trained by his father.
Ir taip Murgari atmokė Dievas.
So the great saint Narada Muni, he happened to come through that forest. And he saw this hunter. What is he doing? Such a rascal, he's killing the animals halfway. So Narada Muni told the hunter, "My dear hunter, kindly kill them full, do not torture them like this." Now you may say, but how could Narada Muni tell him to kill the animals full? Narada Muni was a preacher. He had some tactic in his mind. Once the hunter agreed to kill them full, then he said, and now actually you should stop killing them altogether. And you should break your bow. So you will never do such a heinous, sinful activity again. So the hunter said, he had accepted Narada Muni as his guru. He said, but Gurudev, if I break my bow, how will I live?
Ir medžiotojas priėmė Narada kaip savo mokytoją ir pasakė, bet jeigu aš sulaužsiu lanką, kaip aš gyvensiu?
He said, don't you worry. You and your wife go, you get one hut and you worship the Tulsi and I will send all of your eatables to you.
Bet mokytojas jam pasakė, ne, jūs eikit su žmona gyventi į savo namelį, garbinkit tulas, ir visą maistą aš jums atsiųsiu.
So Murgari did like that, and sure enough, all the people in the area, they heard that this Hanuri has now become a Vaishnava. So they all came for darshan, and they always brought some rice, some dal, some fruits, some vegetables, some flour.
Ir Murgaris taip ir padarė, ir kaip nebūtų keista, visi miestiečiai kaimiečiai sužinojo, kad jie tapo atsidavę ir pradėjo nešti ryžius, dalą ir panašiai.
Some milk.
Pieną.
All eatables he had, no problem. So then one day, Narada Muni, he's a liberated spaceman. He doesn't have to go on that Air Baltic, you know. He can go by his own power through the space. So he has a companion, a traveling companion named Parvat Muni. So one day he told Parvat Muni, well, I'd like to see how my disciple Murgari is doing. So let us go and see Murgari, what he's up to. So the etiquette is, as soon as you see your spiritual master, immediately you follow him like a stick. It is called dandavats. Flat on the ground, you see. So when Murgari sees Narada Muni, immediately he wants to offer his dandavats flat on the ground. But he noticed there were some little ants crawling on the pathway. So he was very carefully picking them up and placing them like
that.
He did not want to hurt even a little tiny ant. Just see, what is a Vaishnava? Previously he was killing the animals, leaving them half dead and enjoying their pain. And now he is carefully moving every single ant off of the pathway before he offers his obeisances. So in this way we can understand what is the proper etiquette. If even an ant is respected, how much more is someone who is on the path of bhakti offered respect? So it's not that I should be respectful to the pure devotee and be very disrespectful to the neophyte devotee. Ananda Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Not that I simply respect the spiritual master and I treat all the other devotees like dirt.
gerbiu, o su visais kitais atsidavusiais kaip su kokiu purvu elgiuosi.
Narottam Das says, worship the lotus feet of Guru and the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. He said Vaishnavas. He didn't say the Shuddha Vaishnavas. He just said Vaishnavas. All Vaishnavas' lotus feet should be worshipped. Therefore, every day we bow down at the feet of the Vaishnavas. And what do we say? Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhubhye vacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So in this way, all Vaishnavas must be respected. If I am disrespectful to any Vaishnava, a pure, a Shuddha Vaishnava, or a neophyte Vaishnava, it doesn't matter. If I'm disrespectful to any Vaishnava, it can hurt my spiritual progress. Any other questions?
But what to do when in family children sometimes just are so bad that they force you to do something bad for them, well, to say bad words or something.
If you're in a position of leader as a mother, a father, or a spiritual master, or temple authority, a GBC, if you have a position of an authority like them,
jeigu jūs turite autoritetą padėti tokią kaip šeimos galva, mama ar prezidentas ar dvasinis mokytojas.
It's your duty to train your dependents how to behave properly.
Tada tai yra jūsų pareiga apmokyti savo pavaldinius kaip tinkamai elgtis.
So you must discipline them.
Todėl jūs privalo disciplinuoti.
Actually, if you do not discipline them, you are their enemy.
Iš tikrųjų, jeigu jūs to nedarysit, nedisciplinuosit, tai būsit jų priešas.
But it has to be done with love, not with hate. That's the point.
Turi būti daroma su meile, o ne su neapykanta.
You shouldn't do it out of anger, uncontrolled anger. You should intelligently discipline your dependents with love in your heart in such a way that they will benefit. That's the point.
But I lack discipline myself. For example, I have some bad habit and cannot give it up.
Then you have to surrender to higher authorities. So you get over your bad habit. Don't be an independent like a stray dog on the street. You must surrender to spiritual authorities, you see. That's why we have a system in our movement, you see, Diksha. Initiation. That you chant 16 rounds, follow these principles, surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. And this by the mercy of Guru, you'll be able to bring your own mind under control, you see. And behave very, very properly as a mother should behave, you see. Otherwise, if we don't come to this standard, then what is our position? The dogs are also raising children. So how are we any better than a dog? I'm a little scared to say all these heavy things. I hear that devotees don't like it. I'm a little, but I have to speak the truth. What can I say? It's my duty to say these things. The animals are also raising children. If we don't properly raise our children in Krishna consciousness, how are we any better than a mother dog?
Mm-hmm.
In English, they call female dog is called bitch. Are we any different than a bitch? If we don't give our children Krishna consciousness, so you become solid in Krishna consciousness. Take shelter of Guru and Vaishnavas. You become solid. And then you can do the best service to your children. You can give them pure love. You become delivered from birth and death, and you can deliver your children also. Or at least you can try to the best of your ability. And Krishna will recognize she tried her best. She did her duty. So I am pleased with her. Any other questions? Hare Kata Prabhu.
What really is anger? Because we can see that Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to be angry.
What actually is anger? Because we sometimes see that Srila Prabhupada was angry.
Even Srimati Radharani in spiritual world is angry.
Yes. There are two types of anger. There is krodha, which is mundane anger. And then there is the show of anger by the pure devotees. There's an example in this connection. One time Srila Prabhupada was in Mexico City, Mexico. And there had been a late night preaching program. And nobody was at Mangalarti. So Prabhupada was giving the Bhagavatam class. And he chastised those devotees like anything. They were shaking. Prabhupada was just like Indra, you know, with thunderbolts. I mean, it was heavy, heavy, heavy. That you didn't come from Mangalarti. Oh, it was so heavy. And the temple president, he's my godbrother, Chitsukananda Prabhu. He said, I was always in the mood of being like Prabhupada's little puppy dog. So when after the class was over, Prabhupada left the temple room and the devotees were like, shocked, you know. So he went with Prabhupada outside the temple room door. There was some, Mexico is like a tropical climate, some beautiful flowers were growing there. Nice aromatic flower, beautiful aromatic flowers were growing there
at the door.
So Chitsukananda, he picked one of those flowers and he offered it to Prabhupada. So 1 minute before, Prabhupada was like Nrsingha Bhagavan. And now he's smelling this flower just like a swan, you know. And Chitsukananda was amazed. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you're roaring like a lion, like Nrsingha, incarnation of Nrsingha Dev 1 minute ago, and now you're just in complete peaceful state of mind. How is that, Srila
Prabhupada?
And Prabhupada explained, actually, I'm never angry with you, my beloved disciple. But I have to show anger, to train you. So the one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness never becomes overcome by anger. But he can appear to be more angry than any karmi. Just like the time when Tamal Krishna was ordered to go to China by Prabhupada and he refused to go. Prabhupada showed such anger that Tamal had to back down and say, okay, Prabhupada, I surrender. So the pure devotee is not used by anger. He uses anger in Krishna's service. That is not krodha. That is not krodha vegam. The urge of anger in the material sense. But actually we can read there in the Upadeshamrita mantra number 1. In the purport, Prabhupada explains that anger, controlling anger means to only use anger for correcting the atheists. So especially devotees who are in leadership positions, they sometimes have to show that they're irritated. Even though they can, because they can just transcend the whole thing by thinking of Krishna, it's their duty to show that they're disturbed and irritated. So that things can go on properly for the benefit of all, you see. Those who advance in Krishna Gan think, well, if the management is going on, I'm going to just go to the forest and chant. Who cares? But it's our duty to act and to not only think of our own Krishna consciousness. It's our duty to think of the welfare of others. Therefore, to train others, sometimes we have to show that we're displeased and angry. So does that answer your question? Any other questions? Yeah.
I wanted to ask, how can we practically combine devotion and studies?
Study?
Yeah.
Studying Bhagavad Gita?
University?
So, how to combine mundane studies with devotional service? Well, the first thing is we have to realize the futility of mundane studies. That spiritually it's not helping me to awaken my Krishna consciousness. And on the other hand, we have to understand what is the benefit of material studies. It's interesting to note in this connection that Prabhupada emphasized how important it was that we make devotees of college students. He emphasized college preaching. Because those who have qualified themselves by becoming materially educated, they have a level of expertise which is very valuable for our movement. Actually, there are some temples in our movement. If you want to be a brahmachari and live in the temple, you have to have a college degree first. And you have to have spent 1 year working in the real world after you graduated, so that you really know what it means, you're really renouncing something, you see. Not that you're some incompetent nitwit who couldn't even hold down a job and you moved into the brahmacharya ashram to get some cheap eating and sleeping. So actually, it's very good that our men become college educated. There are many leaders of our movement now, GBCs, sannyasis. They were, when they joined, they were attending the university. Srila Prabhupada did not tell them to drop out. He encouraged them to finish their studies, you see. Because those studies can actually enhance one's ability to preach and communicate Krishna consciousness in the future. What are you studying?
Russian English languages.
Very good. So, language is a very important thing in preaching, obviously. Preaching is done through the medium of language. So, if you are expert in language, that language can be channeled, that language knowledge can be channeled directly into preaching in a very expert way. We want that our books should be of the highest academic standard, so that all the scholars will respect their accuracy.
Norime, kad knygos mūsų būtų išverstos, kaip pasakyti, aukščiausio lygio, kad visi akademikai galėtų vertintis.
So it's very good we have scholars who are expert in Russian and English like this. You should take these studies very seriously and become the top in your class. Yes. Yes. Yes, ask your spiritual master.
Ar yra taip, kad jeigu dvasinis mokytas kažką nurodo, pavyzdžiui, eiti į universitetą ir žmogus tada eina paktas, ar tai...
You initiated now? Your spiritual master, yes? All right, so your spiritual master tell you to go to school?
Ar dvasinis mokytas jums rodė
mokytas? Yes? All right, so then obvious, it's Guru Seva.
Taip, ir tai tarnystė Guru.
And it's confirmed also by, you know, what we've learned from other devotees as well. So you should be, you know, do it with full enthusiasm. Study well and master your lessons. Any other questions?
Is serving that disciples of the spiritual master same as serving the spiritual master?
Yes. Yeah, if someone says, well, I only serve the guru, but those other disciples... That gives the guru a headache. When he sees the disciples are fighting amongst themselves, it just creates havoc for the spiritual man. So that disciple who not only serves guru but wants to serve the servants of the spiritual man, he is more dear to the spiritual master. Dasa, 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 nidasa. Servant of the servant, the servant of the servant, the servant. Other questions? Yes.
Tai klausimas toks, kad kaip studijuoti ir kartu išlaikyti tą Krišno sąmonės, kaip pasakyti, sugebėti protą sukoncentruoti kartu ir Krišno sąmonę, kad jisai nenubėgtų vien tik į studijas.
How can we keep our mind focused on Krishna when studying and doing other things? Because if we become too absorbed in these things, then even if we try to do some reading of Krishna book or something, then our mind goes to the studies. How to keep the mind in these things?
You have to see everything in relationship with Krishna. What are you studying?
Art?
Art? painting like that?
Yes,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to see where are all these colors coming from. What is the origin of all the colors? Krishna. Yes. All these different colors, they are all manifestations of Krishna. And where does the canvas come from?
Canvas?
The canvas that you do the painting on? That is also coming from Krishna. And the brush? That is coming from Krishna. And the talent that you have to do the painting, that is also coming from Krishna. So you have to connect you have to see how to be connected with Krishna through everything. And you can paint beautiful paintings of Krishna. You should study these authorized paintings that are there in the BBT literature. And learn to paint like that, you see. That's how Prabhupada trained the devotees. He taught them to copy the authorized paintings, not to concoct their own new imaginary style. You take the authorized paintings and learn to paint like them. It's like there's a very nice painting in the cover of the Bhagavad Gita. You try to paint exactly like that, make a duplication of that, and you paint like that. With all those details. You try to put all the horses, the sky, Krishna, Arjuna, just like here. Try to make an imitation where you can make a copy of that painting yourself from scratch. And this way you can train yourself how to paint, you see. So the next time I come, I want you to show me that you've done like that. If you bring it, you show me what you've done. Next question, yes.
When preaching and distributing books, people sometimes becomes, offensive to Krishna. How should I react?
Move on to the next person. Just give him a big smile and say, have a great day. Sorry if I bothered you, sir. Have a great day. Just be real mellow and friendly so everybody likes you. That's the key. Anything else? Yeah.
As far as I have understood, we have fallen from spiritual world due to envy. But if there everything is perfect, then how this envy could come?
Independent. Krishna is supremely independent. Sarat.
Krishna yra pilnai nepriklausomas.
You are his little sample of Krishna.
Jūs esat mažas Krishnas,
his tiny part in person.
Maža Krishnas dalelytė, atspindys.
Since he possesses unlimited independence,
ir kadangi jam priklauso begalinis,
you possess a minute degree of independence.
Begalinė laisvė, jums priklauso mažytė laisvė.
Independence means you can act properly or you can act improperly.
O nepriklausybė reiškia, jūs galite veikti arba teisingai, arba neteisingai.
Because you are part of Krishna, you must have independence also to some degree. Independence means it has the potential of being misused.
Ir nepriklausomybė reiškia, kad ten yra potencialas, kad jinai bus neteisingai panaudota.
If it has no potential of being misused, then there is no independence.
Jeigu nėra šansų blogai panaudoti nepriklausomybę, tai tokios kaip ir nėra.
So, since you have that independence with the potential of misuse,
todėl, kadangi turite tą laisvę ir tą šansą ją klaidinti,
there is always the possibility you can misuse that independence.
Todėl jūs laiką yra galimybė, kad jūs ją neteisingai panaudosite.
And when you do, that is called envy. You may say, well, why did I get the independence to begin with? Why didn't God take it away? But you know, that would make us, if we had no independence? Robots. If I brought you one girl, I said, this girl is going to be your wife. I've got the most beautiful, wonderful girl you could ever imagine, and now she'll be your wife. She'll never complain, she'll always love you, she'll always serve you without any ill will, the perfect wife. And by the way, she's a robot. Would you like it? So, God doesn't want robots. He wants free-thinking individuals like you and me who can agree to serve Him or not agree to serve Him. And then if we agree to serve Him, then there's some real loving feelings there. So therefore, God has given you independence. You've misused it. You become envious of God. Now you can take that same independence which was the cause of your downfall and you can flip it in the opposite direction and use it to regain your original position in the spiritual sky. You misused your independence. Now properly use your independence and you'll become a liberated soul. That is our request to you. Hare Krishna. All right, this is the last one.
That's a question of the son who is sitting here, but he is shy to ask himself. So the question is, can a God create a wall that he cannot climb over?
Of course. Krishna can do anything. And then he can climb over it anyway. God can do anything, conceivable or inconceivable. He's under absolutely no limitations. Yeah.
Why is he shy? He's a big boy. Why can't he ask questions?
O kodėl jisai drovis, jis didelis jau vaikis ir vis tiek neklausia.
Maharaji has asked you a question. Why are you shy?
Kodėl drovus klausia jūs?
What is your answer?
Kaip atsakysi?
Čia greičiausiai mokyklų tą klausimą draugai užduoda.
Yeah, I want to hear from him.
Now we want him to answer. Why are you shy?
Norim, kad atsakytų berniukas, kodėl jis toks draugus?
Mokykla pagadino.
So the point is, now you're a big boy.
Esmė tokia, kad jūs jau didelis vaikas.
You're becoming a young man.
Jau praktiškai jaunas vyriškis.
You should be bold.
Turite būti, kaip pasakyti, rimtas.
You come forward and ask your question.
Drąsus ir klaus klausimą.
You don't have to be shy.
Ir nesidrovėti.
Okay?
The
little boy, you had unlimited questions. So now you should keep asking questions. Be bold to ask questions. You should come for as many of my lectures as possible. The rest of the time that I'm here in Lithuania. You come and sit right up here in the front.
čia va prieš atsisėsti per paskaitas.
And here's, you can take this garland and encourage you. Hare Krishna. Okay, that's it. We thank you all very much. All those who have come to the temple and all those who have tuned in on the in cyberspace, we appreciate your coming very much to this morning's class. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.